What's up, boys and girls? My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell. I just want to throw this on really quick. I got like 6 minutes before I'm supposed to clock in and 21 minutes before I'm supposed to be ready to take my first call here at work. And I just want to cut this on really quick to follow up on some things that I have been talking about, or better yet, a realization of some things that I have been talking about. It seems that going all the way back to Jimmy the Greek, I don't know how many of y'all remember Jimmy the Greek, but Jimmy the Greek makes some comments. And he was like one of the first people to make comments and be canceled. This was before canceling was even canceling. I think he said something about African Americans in sports or something. He said something which is would be considered benign, if that's the word, in today's standards. But then again, I don't know the way y'all are going. I keep saying y'all. I'm teasing y'all. When I say that, I'm just trying to be antagonistic. And I really don't want to be. I want to try to get away from that whole antagonistic thing. Even in regular conversation, you know, how I used to do it. How we used to pick and prod each other and tease each other. You know, just kind of, you know, yang at each other in a loving way. Some might say it's dysfunctional, but if you understand it and then the whole group do it, and it's usually done within the family, you know, where you talk tough to each other and everything is, you know, that little, I'm over that. I can't do that. I don't want to go in that direction anymore. But then it's also very hard to talk happy all the time. Not hard, but maybe not as exciting or entertaining or even realistic. Maybe it's not just not realistic to be that way. Maybe even though I want to cut out all the drama and conflict that is in normal conversation amongst people, that, you know, you just kind of tease each other, talk, or what do you mean by that? You know, that kind of like, you know, I just, it wears on me now. I don't need it anymore. I just want to go away from it. But so I want to try to stay away from that and give commentary and like I'm talking now. Keep it entertaining, keep it edgy, keep it real. I mean, keep it, you know, engaging without being overly sensationalized and making stuff up just to make it sound whatever. That doesn't look like it's loud enough. Is my mic loud enough? Seems like it could be louder. I know it could be louder. In fact, oops, I messed that up. Anyway. What I was saying was I cut this on because, and I was talking about how I didn't want to be antagonistic or conflict or I don't know what the word is, contiguous, contentious. I don't know what the words are. I just don't want to be rang anybody. Anyway, I'll splice these two together and I'll have to explain it. But my point was cutting this on with only 2 minutes to go before I'm supposed to clock in is that it hit me, and it was kind of, I was talking about Jimmy the Greek, it hit me that what I seem to be doing or what I'm kind of like focusing on is the idea of being able to say whatever you want to say. And ever since Jimmy the Greek, I remember Jimmy the Greek said what he said, and I looked at the statement and I saw the reaction, and I was like, well, what he said was kind of true. I was like, what he said was kind of true. Even back then, even with Don Sterling, you know, for whatever reason, I found myself defending people who have said something, even though it may have been completely, I could even agree. Even though I don't think that way, I'd say for the sake of argument, even though if I think it was something completely inappropriate, out of place, out of pocket, whatever, off the wall, blah, 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 whatever adjective you want to put on it, I still would defend the right for the person to say that. And I think I've been doing that for a long time. And I think that's what I'm doing. I got caught up in this Conway thing. I got shoulder pain. That's why I keep always doing this stretching. I got shoulder pain back there. I Googled it. It's been going on for like a couple months now. You know, it's better sometimes, and I stretch, and I thought it was the way I slept, and this and that, and all kinds of stuff. But the point is, I wanted to cut this on and just say, my thing is defending a person's or people's right to say anything, a person's right to be wrong, a person's right to be derogatory, I understand that there's going to be backlash, human backlash, and there's no way around that. That's just part of the beauty. That's just part of the beauty of the human situation here on the planet Earth, where the social systems that we have put together can actually work together in a decentralized way, even though we don't all, a lot of us don't all, you know, the country doesn't all get together and decide this way or that way. By aggregation, groups seem to form and things are decided or decisions are made or actions are undertaken based on what it feels like the country is thinking or something like that. Is that a way to put it? It's like a social, it's like social justice. It's like social justice. It's like unorchestrated social justice. How about that? Unorchestrated, decentralized social justice, social verdicting, where, you know, whoever's making these decisions, is it Twitter? Is it the responses on Twitter? Is it the things that go viral? Is it the news? Is it reactions? Is it voting? What is it that sways the media and us to think, oh, this person's bad? And it's not that it sways us to think that. There'll be like an overlying feeling, or the overlying sentiment can almost be seen or detected. It's like you can almost feel what the country feels about certain things. And it has to be abstract, because there's probably no way of really knowing that, but you just get a sense. You know, you get a sense of what it seems to me that we can get a sense of what the whole country thinks or feels in a general, very, very generalized way. We understand the differences between conservative and liberal. We understand the differences between, you know, maybe a racist group and a more benevolent group. We understand the differences. We know we're all in this together. But there seems to me there's underlying rules, or there's underlying do's and don'ts that aren't written in legislation. Some are, but you know what to do and not to do. I mean, you just know, or you just kind of know when you walk into a place or a situation. And I was thinking on the streets or something, like a non-choreographed, non-supervised free situation, like in the streets, off the grid or whatever. Not it's off the grid, but you know, where the not so much policing or protocols. No, and there's definitely street protocols, but you know what I mean? When you go off the mainstream, out of the mainstream ways of doing things, and you got to go underground, and there's certain protocols in there, and the rules change a little bit, and there's ways you should act and not act, but you can do anything you want, but there's certain expected behaviors, all that kind of stuff is abstract, but it seems that we all know. It's like, you know, in a way, you get to a point, I guess at my age, where I know how to act and what to do in situations, or at least I feel I do, and that's half the battle. Just even feeling that I know what to do in situation A or situation B is, you know, that's immense. That's immense for a human being to be able to, you know, have that confidence that they can, hey, all right, I can walk over here in this neighborhood and go in this and do that and think about that. I saw that, I guess, because I wanted to make the statement that for me, it seemed like it's always been defending a person's right to say things. Like I said, I remember going back to Jimmy the Greek, Donald Sterling, Paula Deen, the guy from Netflix, I guess he used the word nigger to compare it to the word retard. And he wasn't calling anybody in this. He used it as a very platonic use, and they still had him fired. Stuff like that. I mean, You know, you should be able to say anything you want to on TV. And, or, no, I take that back. You shouldn't be able, I can't see. See, that's where it gets fun. You should be able to say anything you want to on TV is a subjective statement made by me, probably to me. Simplified, very simplified statement made by me to me to understand what I meant by the eventual utopia when mankind and humankind evolved to a point where we don't have to have policing and censorship and heavy-handed protocols in place to make sure the information and media out there heavy-handed regulations in place to monitor the information that's being put out there. Because I don't want to use right or wrong, up or down. I just, the censorship thing, that's where I'm at. So I kind of, and then I started to go into, you know, what are the repercussions of breaking said unwritten rules and unwritten social protocols, or having, you know, the social justice, activating the social justice, breaking the rules of social justice. But the whole point was, I've always been a defender of saying things. I think one, and here's another story. A coworker of mine has like a podcast, and we were talking about Bill Maher, and I'm probably going to paraphrase this wrong. I'm probably going to put the story together wrong, say it wrong, but it's not the point, because the point is to make my story. He was saying, yeah, Bill Maher is like a, he said, Bill Maher reminds him of a single guy who has no responsibility, who could get a show and just say basically and do whatever he wants, because there's no ramifications, or, you know, he's just single. He's not, you know, he doesn't have to worry about being linked to Spotify to keep money or whatever. He's like independent and can do things and say things, whatever he wants, because he has a show called Club Random. It's just damn good. Club Random is just like, basically, maybe 10 years ago, what something I was, you know, hoping would happen. And I guess I wouldn't be able to do it. I mean, I could do it, but it wouldn't be the same with me doing it. It would have to happen in the mainstream. The point was to have a show like that in the mainstream where, you know, he's sitting around, spoken, you know, there's sure there's guidelines and I'm sure there's regulations, but it's more, you know, just him, a camera, and a person talking, and just doesn't have the formality of his regular show or a regular TV news program or talk show. And I always thought that was, you know, years ago, I always thought, yeah, that's what we need. That's what we want, where people just sit back, kick, and talk regular. You know, now with podcasting and social media, you know, everybody has their own show. Everybody can put that out there. You know, to see it on TV, I mean, I don't expect to see it on ABC or NBC. You know, maybe some HBOs. I mean, HBOs probably has a little bit of regulation there too. But the uncensorship and the free distribution of information, and more so the distribution, the people being able to express how they feel, regardless of what it is, if it, you know, goes against what's socially accepted now, whatever that means, just the ability just to say it, the ability to talk and be wrong, to be incorrect. Now, I'm not an advocate of lying. I'm not the person who's going to ever, I'm not going to say ever, ever, but I do not say anything that I do not believe is true. In seriousness, I will not relay in seriousness something that I know is not true. You know, I'll joke and hopefully, you know, people understand a satire. But even in my satire, there's truth. So lying. See, and then if you get to the world I want, even lying has to be not allowed, but there'll be misconceptions and misinformation, and there'll be outright lies. And the regulation of that, I understand at a news media global thing, I understand it, but it still comes back, I think, to parents raising their children from an early age to grow up to understand how to navigate information, what is real, what is not real, where they get their integrity from, where they pull their quote-unquote morals from, their ideas, their philosophies. They need to be taught where to get that, what's real, what's not, what's conjecture, what's false, what's play, what's entertainment, what's threatening, what's, you know, pseudo or fake or facade. They need to be taught that at the human level and not policed at the a higher level of, it should be regulated to a degree. It has to be should be regulated to a degree. And I get regulations, but policing and censorship and, you know, people thinking they have an idea what's right or wrong. People say, oh, you know that's wrong or you know that's right. No, I don't. That's what you think, and that's what you think everybody thinks, but that's not the case. Even if what you're saying is true, that I do know what's wrong and I do know what you mean and I agree with you, you still can't say it. So, well, you can say anything you want, but you know what I mean. Anyhow, I'm just rambling. I just wanted to get that out there. And then it's really basically me defending a person's right to say anything. Because look at me. That's all I do. I was like, oh, no wonder I'm, you know, kind of my take on the whole Kanye thing. Because that's what I'm doing. I just want to talk crazy, too. You know, I don't talk crazy, but see, I talk crazy. Y'all don't care. Oh, he ain't nobody. But Kanye talk crazy. Who is a big deal because he's famous. And that is another thing that could probably be addressed. Oh, because he is this, he has a different responsibility or he has different regulations or he has different guidelines of what he can do and say. As opposed to somebody who doesn't have a platform that big, does the size of your platform determine how much regulation you get on your speech? No, it doesn't. From a legal standpoint, like I said before, from a legal standpoint, legislation and all that, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's the human, it's the social justice. The social justice. Now, I heard the word social justice warrior, but it's just hitting me now. Because if social justice warrior was more like a quote-unquote put-down of, you know, somebody you think is overly woke. At least I used it that way. And so to actually see the term social justice and understand it as it being something, that social justice is a thing now. You know, it's almost like a tangible weapon, or it's like a tangible committee who just sits around and determines what is and what ain't appropriate. Anyway, my name is Jeffrey Mitchell, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk, and for every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom in this or any universe that ever was, is, or will be. It's about the totality of it all, y'all. A theory of universe. A hypothesis of all as one. Always on the one, and the one is within us all. Yeah. Oh, yeah.